I'm always excited to share researched and common sense healthcare from extremely knowledgeable folks. And Dr. Jess is a doctor who continues to educate herself with each client. She's also an advocate for health freedom for humanity. And this, of course, can look different to everyone. And that's kind of the point, isn't it? I'm Robin. Stay tuned for Tributaries. Dr. Jess, there's certainly a passion needed to uncover the mysteries of healthcare, and your own health brought you to many discoveries, didn't it?
Yes, it did, in fact. Yeah, actually, with my health, you know, I was a busy, busy doctor. I was trained in internal medicine, and for almost 7 years of my life, I worked as a hospitalist, which is, you know, I would describe the quarterback of the hospital team. We do the admitting and discharging and consult specialist as needed. And, you know, there were some days, you know, I was up for, you know, 30 hours seeing 50 patients. So I wouldn't say it was the healthiest of careers, honestly. And over time, you know, my cortisol was pinged. I was constantly in flight or fight, as you can imagine, as a first responder. You kind of wake up like that. And, you know, really, I started to get a little bit of burnout. I started to be irritable and not as happy and satisfied with my life. And it came out in me, not in physical terms, but more so in, you know, really depression and anxiety and insomnia and not feeling fulfilled, you know, like this low level baseline irritability all the time. And so I didn't have any official diagnoses, but I definitely didn't knew that I wasn't running at peak performance or happiness. And that propelled me to look to other places for my health.
Yes, well, your resume is quite amazing in that you've really embraced so many systems, and there are jewels within each system. There's no one fix for everyone, even with the same problem, obviously. So you did tell me in a previous conversation that you don't practice much of Gerson therapies anymore. And I'm curious about that system and why you stepped away from it a bit.
I still value Gerson therapy so very much. They taught me so much. I was in the program for almost 5 years. And they taught me, you know, they kind of ripped the blinders off for me, as you might say, because that was the first training I got after conventional medicine. And they were talking about how Teflon was unhealthy and tap water had, you know, parasites and toxicities in it. And I just sat there in class with my mouth gaped wide open, learning. So I will forever have great respect for Gerson therapy and Dr. Gerson and all the clinicians and practitioners and teachers there. What I came to find out, though, was that Gerson adheres to a very strict schedule for every single patient. And as I have gained knowledge and experience in my career, I feel as though everyone is extremely bio-individual and unique. And so although some people flourish on a vegan diet with, you know, beef liver capsules or whatnot, other people may not. And so that is kind of, I still use a lot of the techniques. I still tout coffee enemas, as you probably know. I think it's a great way to detoxify, but I also really pay attention to the patient and where their needs are and where they might absorb certain nutrition better than other places in that state at that moment in time in their health journey. And so I still, not that I turned away from it, I would say I still utilize a lot of techniques and tactics, but I try to be come at a more bio-individual perspective for each person that I treat and meet.
Oh, perfect. Yes. And as far as you just mentioning detox, it's so worthwhile talking about that because anyone these days can pick up a book and go, okay, I'm going to do a detox, and some will attack it extremely from this, well, they'll attack it from an extreme place in that they want to make change and they want to make it fast. And everyone obviously has their own pace they can go. But what can you say that someone really needs to pay attention to when they decide to do a detox? Because detoxing is one thing, but getting rid of those toxins is huge and key in doing any detoxification program.
Correct. And so the easiest way for me to explain it to people is use analogies. So it's kind of like when you do a detox, there are things that are sequestered or settled down in the tissues of your body. And when we start to pull things out, sweat them out, poop them out, pee them out, all of these things, it's sort of like kicking up dust at a construction site. And so when that happens, people feel their body sort of freaks out because it says, oh, wait, I missed you. You're a foreign intruder and I missed you. So let's sound the alarm bells. Let's call in the troops. Let's have an all out war because I didn't realize that I was under attack. But clearly I am. And so people really feel that. Some people will get joint pains. Some people will get all over body myalgias and feel like they have the flu. Some people will get terrible headaches and brain fog. And so there are nicer ways to prep the body than to just throw people straight into a detox that kind of shocks their body when it sees the things it missed. And I like to kind of, especially if I have a person that really is very sensitive, they react to the smallest of things or supplements, then I usually will start with extracurricular activities, I like to call them. Things like sauna, things like castor oil packs, even just backing off and doing distilled water enemas if they're sensitive to coffee. And these things help to open the body up. These are your drainage pathways or emunctories. And they help prep the body. They clean the pond stem out of the pond before a detox. And this helps open the body up. So when we start killing things in the body's terrain, it's able to dump out and not hold on to the things that we're killing and mopping up.
And thinking that a lot of toxins are held in the fat cells in our body. I don't know if that's really true, perhaps, but I think it is. And
Yes.
So is that a time when you might want to stay away from fat, or because it seems like such a core piece of healthcare to have good, healthy fat? So I'm wondering if there's any relationship there that you've come across.
I would say, you know, it depends on the person and what they're going through, but definitely I like to increase the fiber because fiber can definitely bind up a lot of those fat soluble toxins and remove them from the body. It acts like kind of like a broom to sweep the GI tract clean. And so that's a natural way to move things out of the body, especially if your bowels are moving properly, right?
Yes.
That's the big risk for me is if someone's constipated, then no matter what you're eating, you're holding on to toxicities.
Right. Yes. Right? Yes. Now, in speaking about working with a patient in all of this, are you finding that the patients really have a good intuitive sense without even perhaps recognizing it sometimes as to what direction? I mean, obviously, if someone finds you, their intuition is working pretty well, I think, if they want to really work through some things. But I'm just wondering how you see that. I know someone like you who has a ton of knowledge about how to work with people, there is a point, I would imagine, where you have to be intuitive and move beyond, okay, well, I know if you have X, then you can use Y and Z to help yourself. But as you said, every patient is an individual. So how much would you say you're using intuition in complement to all of the actual physical knowledge you've become aware of?
Quite a bit. I think the way you do one thing is the way you do most things. And I'm quite an intuitive person in general. So I think you can't separate those things, really, when you're working. And so I use a lot of intuition, honestly, about people. You know, there's certain people that should be able to do or take certain things on paper, and then you get them in front of you and they clearly cannot. And so then your game plan has to change. You have to be kind of quick on your feet or be able to troubleshoot with them well and ask the right questions. A lot of it is about asking the right questions to tease out issues and connect things, sort of like Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Right. And so it's a little bit of a fun mystery. Not so much as fun for the patient, I'm sure. But, you know, that's part of it is intuitive question asking, I would say.
Mm. And another system that is quite popular these days is functional medicine. And I've heard quite a bit of people say that's my that's my thing. That's a good system. And how would you work in and around with functional medicine? And perhaps how would you describe it?
Yes, I would say that's more aligned with what I do as well. I like to call it root cause medicine. I think people can understand that. It's an easier term for them. And it is just what it sounds. I keep asking why until I have a root cause for why someone is suffering from something. And that's really important to me. Even if I was practicing straight Gerson therapy or whatever it is, I would still be trying to ask why, because I feel like you can't properly get to the answer and a solution for someone if you don't know why it happens. And so a lot of times I'm dabbling in the spiritual, emotional, and physical realms with people.
Well, I, for one, really appreciate that and am trying to do more and more of bringing that out, because the spiritual component today is finally, it's like it's finally coming out, just like all these other things. You know, everyone's, you know, the T-shirts for Black Lives Matter or This Matters or the lesbian, gay, transgender people, you know, everyone finally is having a platform to be able to say who they are. And the spiritual component is huge in that. And so I'm very happy to see that you're bringing that out and including that in part of medical practice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have to understand people's histories, exposures, antecedents, traumas, triggers, you know, daily 9 to 5 almost, to really be able to help.
Yeah. And one thing that I read in on your website, which, by the way, is wonderful because of the blogs, the many, many blogs you've written, kill, bind, and sweat means many things to many people.
Yes.
And what does it mean to you? Share that protocol, because it seems like a great A to B to C.
Well, kill, bind, sweat, so funny. It actually is, I trademarked it because it kind of caught on, and that was an accident. But kill means once your drainage pathways are open, so your natural ways of releasing things in your body's prepped and ready for a detox, then you are ready for kill, bind, sweat. It's something you don't want to just jump right into because of the kill factor that I mentioned. And kill is taking, I prefer an herbal antimicrobial, something most people would know, like oil of oregano or cloves or wormwood, something like that. And then waiting probably 30 minutes and taking a binder of choice. And a toxin binder is something that mops up toxins. It's molecularly sticky, so it's able to mop up what we're killing, right? And things like this are charcoal, diatomaceous earth, bentonite or zeolite clay, and bioactive carbons like fulvic and humic acids. And then you get in the sauna or work out or get in a hot Epsom salt bath, somewhere you can sweat. Infrared heat is great because it has a number of other benefits, but this is able to activate our immune system, and our body kind of picks up what we're putting down. It says, oh, okay, we're killing something, then I'm mopping it up, and then I'm going to get it out of my body through the sweat glands. And so a lot of studies have shown that certain heavy metals, although they're small studies, have shown that certain heavy metals such as cadmium, nickel, mercury are able to come out in the sweat easier than the feces or the urine. And so this is a great way to release things like endocrine disruptors or heavy metals, and to mop up any pathogen infestations that are too great for the body that might be there. And this actually, it sounds super sexy, like I'm an S&M doctor. I hashtagged it online on social media, and it just caught on like wildfire. I think it sounds kind of sexy, so people wonder what it is. And it's really accessible to everyone.
Yes, it actually is. Yes, I've been doing ozone therapy for myself and for folks for many, many years now. And to do it combined with the sweat, with a steam sauna, is just incredible.
Yeah, I actually have an ozone sauna.
It's a great way to enhance what you're doing with the sweat, certainly.
Pop in a binder. Take a binder and hop in your ozone sauna if you have one.
And what binder would you use?
I personally like, there's a certain company's binders that I like that use bioactive carbons, which means they cleave the fulvic and humic acids to have more binding sites. So they're more efficacious and they cross into places like the, across the blood brain barrier, across the gut lining, which is what we want. Right. So I prefer things like fulvic and humic acids for people.
Nice. That's a great tip. Thank you so much. You work with people now online and Zoom, and so people around the world are literally finding you. And you mentioned earlier about when you've got someone in front of you, then it's apparent what questions are going to come up to ask. How are you finding this? And then I'd like to ask you, what are people reaching out to you for? Because I'm sure people are reaching out with things where, you know, like once upon a time, fibromyalgia doctors are going, oh, that's your problem. There's nothing going on. It's all in your head or something like that. Yeah. So doctors like you, I know, are helping folks with the problems that aren't so easily addressed because you are digging deep. What are you seeing that's going on for people these days?
Yeah, you know, it's, you're right. With fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue patients, a lot of the industry and conventional medicine will label them as psychosomatic or, you know, kind of crazy, sadly. And now people are looking more to things like mold, Lyme, toxin overload, which really can be causing these people's pains and disorders, even though there's no objective test that we have that shows it. And so I think what I find with people the most that I'm seeing now is a lot of mitochondrial dysfunction, which is the little energy makers in every cell that make ATP. And they are more easily damaged because they don't have the same repair mechanisms that our normal DNA does. And so once they're damaged by toxins, heavy metals or pathogens, or even, you know, being stuck in flight or fight chronically, then you start to see it in every organ of the body. I mean, even type 2 diabetes is directly connected to mitochondrial dysfunction. And so this is something I'm seeing in a lot of people in a younger and younger population, unfortunately. Most of my patient base before I stopped doing one-on-ones was probably 20 to 50. And they had things like brain fog and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and autoimmunity, all breeds of autoimmunity, especially with the thyroid, which is one in three women nowadays. They also had a lot of hormonal disorders and just in general mystery conditions that they'd been to a number. Most of the time I was treating emotional things with medical PTSD because these people had been to 20, 30 different doctors. And a lot of them had had negative experiences, I'm sad to say, where they felt extremely triggered and unable to proceed because no one believed them or people gaslit them.
Amazing. And certainly, as you just said, the thyroid conditions are now one in three in women. What do you think's going on with that and how do you approach it? And I know, obviously, and you've been reiterating that every person is different and different things will cause certain problems in a body. But if you can speak kind of specifically and generally at the same time, perhaps.
Specifically and generally. So, you know, there's a number of different thyroid conditions. You could be hypothyroid without having autoimmunity. You can be hypothyroid with autoimmunity, which is known as Hashimoto's. You can be hyperthyroid, or you can be hyperthyroid with autoimmunity, which is known as Graves. And so there's a number of different things, all with a different root cause because they're different diseases. And so it bothers me when doctors only get a TSH or a free T4 and that's out without looking at the full panel. I need to know, look at antibodies to see if they have an autoimmune condition or not. That's important. And I need to see how the full gland is functioning because the brain and the body do not see themselves as separate organ systems. It's one organ system. And there are connections neurologically and embryologically formed through these organs that are still connected. They are connected through meridians in Chinese medicine. They are connected embryologically in the way they formed in different germ layers in the body. They're still connected. And so the thyroid is not a separate organ. It works as a whole. With that being said, it's a very, very sensitive organ. It is very sensitive, especially in women. So in women, they have a an axis, I'll call it, where the thyroid is connected to, especially mitochondria. Any dysfunction in the mitochondria will cause thyroid antibody numbers to bounce up. So mitochondria and adrenals are connected there, as well as liver and sex hormones. And it's an axis for women with a thyroid. And so because of that, you see women who have more trouble with the thyroid than men, because estrogen and progesterone and then the cortisol axis are often connected in women who are overworked, overstimulated, stuck in flight or fight, and not speaking their truth, which is right where the thyroid is. That's the emotional and spiritual component of it. Then you've got to think about toxin overload, which attracts pathogens. Things like perchlorate in the water supply. We're using chlorine byproducts to clean the municipal water supplies, which then combine to form toxic byproducts that attack the thyroid. Mercury also likes to replace the iodine and displace the iodine in the thyroid, which can cause problems. So if you have mercury amalgams or hidden dental infections, you bet your sweet butt that your thyroid is going to feel something. On top of that, you know, there are pathogens that are connected to thyroid dysfunction, even parasites, things like Blastocystis hominis, which is a parasite in the gut. Obviously, the gut is also attached to the thyroid and autoimmunity. And so you got to look at H. pylori, Blastocystis hominis, pathogens like this, parasites, which our tests are inaccurate for. So there's so many different things to look at. That's why I say general detoxing is needed, where we open drainage pathways, and every single person is a generalized protocol. No matter what you have going on, there's something stuck inside your body that doesn't belong there. We have to open you up.
That was brilliant. And I think one of my favorite things you said was that it's part of a one organ system ultimately. And that is so key. And I'm glad more and more people are becoming aware of that through practitioners and professionals like yourself, of course. And there's a great division in medical practices and between practitioners these days, not unlike with many other things where we mentioned earlier, people are stepping out finally and speaking their truth. And how is that affecting you as a medical doctor?
Well, I'm all for that. In fact, I'm a freedom fighting doctor who sits on some, I have a Health Freedom for Humanity sweatshirt on right now. I'm chairwoman of the board. So I actually go to, school PTA meetings and board meetings, and I fight for people's freedom of choice. Regardless of what you believe in, you should have a choice. And so, and I love it that patients are starting to have a choice. In fact, the reason I became successful in helping guide people through their health journey is because I listened to them and didn't gaslight them and gave them a choice to speak their mind. And I chose, it was my choice, to believe them. And that is the only difference between me and other conventional doctors who can't figure things out, is that they don't listen to their patients. So I applaud anyone who is standing up and speaking their truth to people they view in an authority position.
Yes, bravo. And Jess, is there anything you would like to share, knowing you have, you have a huge platform, of course, on your website, but in speaking with our audience today, is there something that you would like to share that I haven't asked you about, or a place you'd like to go in the last few minutes?
Sure. You know, I want to tell everyone out there listening that if you have some chronic condition that people have given you bleak prognoses for, or you feel like you don't know if you can heal, you haven't found the right guide or practitioner, I just want to let you know that it is possible, and you don't need an ICD-10 code or a label or a diagnosis to heal your body. You need to return to nature and believe in yourself. Your body is not broken. It's giving you warning signs and just screaming for help that something in your life is askew and out of balance, because the body really likes homeostasis, which means checks and balances and ratios, where everything works in perfect orchestra or harmony. And if there's an imbalance somewhere in the body, it's going to let you know about it. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's very intelligent. So if you can figure out and trace back your exposures, your traumas, which are really important, the body holds the score with traumas, and work through those that inner child work and work through those exposures and detox and open yourself up, it's not going to be pretty, but it will be worth it. The body's going to freak out a little bit, and you're going to have to feel some emotions that are uncomfortable probably, but we can do hard things, especially when it's worth it in the end. And so I want to let everyone out there know that your body has the capability to heal far greater than you've ever been told or probably believe. And I've seen it over and over and over and over that you heal you. You just need a cheerleader and a good guide.
Yes, I've recently been sitting a lot with my 2-year-old granddaughter. And if she goes, oh, you know, she'll show me a little owie on her finger or something. And I've just started telling her, your body will heal this. You can heal this. And I thought,
oh, what a beautiful thing to say to her.
Yes. And I have children and other grandchildren. So I thought it's about time I got really direct with this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, empowering thing to say to a child. Really. Everyone should say that to a child.
And Jess, as I mentioned, you do have so much wonderful information on your website. Would you share that with folks and a way to get in touch?
Of course, yes. If you guys, there are kind of hierarchies out here to working with me or reading my information. So first and foremost, my website that Robin is talking about is drjessmd.com. So drjessmd.com. And there's lots of free FAQs on there that my audience asked me that I answered, as well as blogs, like you mentioned, and how to do Killbind Sweat. If you guys like social media, I'm very active on there. I give a lot of free information on there as well. It's almost like a mini blog. And that on Instagram is drjess.md. Same on TikTok, and then Jessica Petras on Facebook. And then I have the highest hierarchy to working with me, which is my app. And that's app.drjessmd.com. That's a membership where we have a community forum where I personally answer you with 3 other doctors. I film professional courses. We have a webinar every 2 weeks where you can ask me questions on the webinar. And then we have root cause quickies. People write in, ask solutions to chronic preventable diseases that are holistic. And we have the docs research it and come out with a quickie. We also have a store on there and plethora of articles that come out every day. So pick your poison there, I guess.
pick your poison to get rid of poison.
That's right. Like cures like, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Jess. For anything tributaries related, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. Our podcasts are all over the place. And if you can't find us there, do let us know. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.